I'm Georgie Crawford.
How are you, Georgie? I'm Claire Solan. And this is the Soul Sisters podcast, full of life lessons and laughter.
And this is a Good Glow production. It's brought to you this season by Amalfi Gin, your ticket to the Amalfi Coast.
Oh, yeah, I like the way you said that. Get me to the Amalfi Coast. Amalfi Gin comes in three tasty flavours. A burst of Italian blood orange with con arancia, a zesty lemon gin, con limon, or a delicate grapefruit gin with rosa. Experience la dolce vita with Amalfi Gin.
Always drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. Welcome back to Soul Sisters. We are delighted to be here today to have a little chat very early in the morning. We love an early morning. Claire used to do breakfast radio. I used to read breakfast news. I feel like mornings, when I get up and have a great morning, it just sets me up for the day.
It's definitely one way to buy yourself back some time, particularly, I would say, as a mama bear, because if you can get up before the kids and just have a little bit of silence, have a cuppa, listen to something in your ears, or just simply enjoy the quiet time. It's such a privilege.
So I get up now in the morning and you know, Claire, that I love the Calm app. And actually, over the summer, I felt like I completed the Calm app. So I was just 24/7 Calm app. So I know them all. In particular, I got really close to Jay Shetty over the summer. Thanks. And he has this thing on the Calm app called the Daily Jay, and it's 7 minutes.
Okay.
So I start my morning before anybody wakes up with Jay Shetty. And I really, really, I'm just growing to love him more and more by the day.
He is huge, isn't he? In terms of like well-being and well in the wellness industry. I listened to an interview with him and Tony Robbins lately, actually. And I thought, wow, do you know who else I love? Jay Shetty's wife.
She is fab.
She's worth a follow on the Instagram. So what's the Daily J about then?
So he just picks a topic every morning and he'll speak about it. So something that he was speaking about today, which I thought was very interesting, was assumptions, because I think we can all assume things. And that's certainly something that I've been working on, especially with Jamie, you know. I said in 2022, we're really going to like work on us and we're going to communicate, because it's just been such a mad 5 years.
Yeah.
So when you assume something about your husband, you know, the way you're like, oh, you know, look at him there, just sitting there. And you're assuming all of these things. And then often I'll say to Jamie, without assuming that he's just scrolling on his phone, I'll say, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just replying to emails about the September reset.
Do you know what I mean? Oh my God, he's an angel.
But you have these stories running through your mind. Anyway, Jay Shetty was talking about it today, and I think it's something we could all think about. Like, what are we assuming that isn't reality?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I have a great story about this, and it was a massive lesson for me. So in the last month, for I would say, there's a couple that I know like in my outer circle. I don't know them that well, but there was kind of a bit of a falling out with them. And it wasn't directly with me, but it was like the whole group sort of just broke from not being that friendly, but being cordial to each other. So I was walking to the tube station and I got caught short, ladies. So I needed to spend a penny. So I dropped into a coffee shop right beside the station. And in the coffee shop was your man, the fella from the couple. And I saw him and I was like,
the fella from the couple. Okay.
The man one was there. So I saw him and I was like, oh my God, because he only lives around the corner. I was like, hiya. And he had his laptop open. Nothing. Nothing. So I was like lucky that I was walking with purpose towards the toilet. And as I walked into the bathroom, I was like, wow. That was like a proper blank. Like, I don't think I've been blanked like that in years. It's like, I can't believe I have to walk out past him again. Jesus. So anyway, got myself together, had me a wee, and walked out, and I'd ordered a coffee just so I had the privilege of using the facilities. So I walk out and I'm like kind of looking, you know, like side eye looking, like maybe he just read an email and he was really pissed off. So like I wanted to give him another chance and my ego needed another chance because I was like reeling after this. So I look at him, doesn't even look up from his laptop. So I walk out of there and I'm like, well, well, well. And I get on the train and all manner of stories start to flow into my brain. The girl of the couple, she could be like, you know, she was the driving force of us breaking away from them. So she's clearly spoken to him and said, if you see any of them, you do not speak to them. And I was like, he must hate me that he wouldn't even be able to say hello. Like he couldn't even fake it. So this went round and round in my mind. And every so often when I was like around the neighborhood in Cut the Mustard or wherever I was, I'd start thinking about it and like simmering on it. Cut to a week ago, speaking to one of the neighbors. And they said, oh, did you hear that such and such and such and such have broken up? And I was like, it's like, you know, in a movie when it goes, it takes you back to the day. Oh, God. I was literally standing back in this coffee shop and I was like, it was take two and it made so much sense. A, why he was in the coffee shop with his laptop, because they'd broken up. So obviously she was working from home in the apartment and he was in the coffee shop. He didn't feel like saying hello to me. His whole life had just come to an end. But the assumption that I had made was that it was all about me. And actually, it had nothing to do with me. Oh,
the Daily Claire. So last week you told us you were going to a wedding, you'd go into Oxford Street to get a bag. It was all go, Claire. How did you get on?
It's a very early noughties thing to do, isn't it? Go in and get a matching bag in town for your outfit.
Did you get one?
No. And I tell you, I went to all the big hitters. I was in two Zaras. I was in John Lewis, which is our version of Arnott's. I was in And Other Stories. I was in Bershka. Jesus, Bershka's for the kids now. You wouldn't go near Bershka. Jesus. Combats and tiny skirts in Bershka. Out, went in, walked back straight out. Music was very loud. Very loud. And then was there one more? I went into Mango. Ah, lads. Like, there wasn't a wedding bag to be had. So I just made a decision. Actually, the weather has been, considering we had a heat wave and September's usually quite good when the kids go back to school, weather's been pretty poor. So on Friday morning, maybe on Thursday, in a torrential rainstorm, I made a decision to change the outfit altogether. So the blue dress felt, the vintage blue dress just felt a little bit too peak summer. And I went in a cream wrap dress, which had long sleeves. And I decided, because I was staying overnight at this golf club and resort, that actually I didn't need a bag.
Okay.
Your face
that
is
makes
like,
sense. No, it makes sense to me.
Oh, does
the
it?
The old me would carry around everything I owned, every bit of makeup, every bit of hairspray, blah, 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 blah. Like one day I was walking down the road and this girl was like, do you want a hand with your bag? And I was like, this is my handbag. This is normal for me. This is how I roll. But now I don't need anything but my phone because my money, my cards are on my phone.
Yes.
I can contact people on my phone. Mm-hmm. And everything else, I just don't need it.
You don't. And hey, that's why we're still sisters. I brought my phone and I ran back and got my sunglasses when the sun came out. So the wedding was an absolute triumph. It was, Lauren looked absolutely beautiful. There was a really good gang of people there. These girls I know just but through a friend of mine called Helen. All of these girls used to be in Riverdance and Lord of the Dance. So they are up for the crack and they are dancers. So when I tell you I spent the whole night, like to the point where next day I was like, jeez, it feels like I've done exercise. So long on the dance floor that, again, my soul was absolutely singing after it.
Wow. And you're a great dancer, Claire.
You know that about me.
Of course I do.
Oh my God, I'm going to say thank you for that compliment.
Because I saw on your Instagram stories, like this table, it must have been like 10 foot tall or 10 foot long with cheese, fruit, crackers, meats. It looked divine. Did you just hang out there for a while?
So that's where I was when I wasn't dancing. There was an incredible grazing table. Like one like I've never seen before. It was lit. It was luscious. It was just divine. And I really enjoyed my time at the grazing table. But I also enjoyed, I wish they'd set up a little camera. Because as the night went on, you could see people going over in various states of inebriation to, like, you know, get some cheese in, get some carbs, you know, get some energy. So it was absolutely brilliant. The other thing I wanted to bring up about this wedding was the wedding singer.
Tell us.
So we went from out on the lawn having drinks up into this kind of pavilion clubhouse, which was like a kind of a balcony looking out over this beautiful golf course. I was in Surrey. So we walk upstairs and I'm walking upstairs and I can hear like Rat Pack songs, like the bet, like just being like proper brilliant Bublé style singing. I get upstairs, I glance in the corner. There's a dude in a cream jacket, black trim, like just amazing looking. Beautiful guy. So I look over at this guy and I'm like, wow, everybody is so taken aback by how good he is. So I'm like, well, I have to tell this guy how good he is. First of all, so I see him run into the pavilion and I'm like, perfect, now's my chance. Turns out like he was going in to get batteries for his microphone, but I didn't realize that. I ran in after him and I said, oh my God, you are so good. You're so amazing. We're having a brilliant time with like listening to you. Close your eyes and it could be Bublé. And Martin John McCafferty needed a big recommendation after I left the wedding. He was from Derry. So forget Derry girls. It's all about this Derry boy. His Instagram, if anybody needs an amazing wedding singer, is at Martin John Official. And he's Martin John McCafferty from Derry.
Future husband?
Married with children, unfortunately.
Okay. I'll just move on.
So that's what I've been at in the last couple of days. What about you?
So I think at the end of the last season of Soul Sisters, I said I really wanted to watch the new Top Gun film.
You did.
Solo date. Never happened.
Oh.
Now, I did have a solo lunch, so I did follow through with my soloness. Mm-hmm. But so we rented it on Sky on Saturday night and I finally got to watch the new Top. I kept calling it the Top Gear movie. It was kind of starting to irritate Jamie, I could see. He was like, it's Top Gun. Watch Top Gun. What do you think of Tom Cruise? I think I kind of have a little bit of a soft spot for him.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's strange that you should say that now, because I think it's probably the only time in my life that I've not really had a soft spot for him.
I think he is gorgeous.
You sound like your ma.
He's so hunky and cool and just... Do you know why I think that? I think I really like him because I heard a story about him when he was in Dublin, right? And I won't say the girl's name. So we used to work really closely with a movie company, obviously, and they'd bring in the stars into the radio station and all that stuff. Anyway, do you remember when Tom Cruise came to Ireland?
What year was it?
Oh, God. I'm really bad with years. Like, I could say it's 2012, but it was like 2002. But I think it was around 2012, around that time.
Okay.
Anyway, he came over. Apparently, he's like a machine, like gets up really early in the morning, works out, like is a really nice person. Like every person he came in contact with, he was amazing to and went above and beyond for them. Aww. So anyway, he's going home and they're bringing him to his jet in Dublin Airport. And they're in convoy because, you know, that's how they roll. And the girl was in convoy to make sure he got on the jet and say goodbye, thanks, blah, blah, blah. And she, so they all pull up and they're all getting out of the cars and her car door is open. And she goes to get out and one of the security guys closed the door on her leg. You know, that's so sore. He didn't realize that she was about to get out and he just shut the door. And she said that she was like, ah, like, you know, obviously as you would be. And then she looked up and Tom Cruise was running towards her and like scooped her up and was like, oh my God, are you okay? Blah, 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 blah. And I think that's when I fell in love with Tom Cruise, probably about 20 years after everyone else. So when I was watching him in action on Saturday night, I was like, oh yeah.
Oh my God. Like, isn't it, you know, it's life imitating art actually, isn't it? So he's been a hero and a hunk for so long on the big screen that he sees an opportunity. He can't miss an opportunity like that to scoop. Oh my God. It's the scooping.
And Tom Cruise scooped you.
You could be scooped. I can't be scooped.
You definitely could be scooped.
I'd have to be scooped by The Rock or something. Or Jason Momoa. Like, you are like little perfect scoopable little person. And I'm just too big to be scooped. But God, it doesn't stop me hoping that the day will arrive where I will get scooped.
So that was my Saturday night. I scheduled in rest this week because I wasn't stumbling across it at any point, Claire. So I needed to literally down tools on Sunday, and I had to make a promise the whole family were resting today. So we did, and we had a great time. But you know what? Okay, so I haven't really given an update on our surrogacy journey because there hasn't been any updates apart from the fact that we were looking at Canada, and I just felt with Canada. So for anyone who doesn't know, our embryos are back in Kiev. We were about to start a surrogacy journey on the 21st of February. We were going to implant our embryos. And then the Russian invasion happened on the 24th of February. So we had called everything off. Our embryos then were brought to Slovakia in the back of a car. Jeez. And when things settled a bit, they were brought back to Kiev. So they're back where they should be.
Mm.
Now, if we were going to Canada, we had to use our embryos that we have in Dublin. Aren't we lucky to have a choice? That wasn't lost on me, and I really appreciated and was so grateful for that. But I couldn't stop thinking about my embryos in Kiev. That embryo that was going in on the 21st of February, it just felt like I'd lost that embryo. Will I'll never meet that little person now, because if we go to Canada, we're using our Dublin embryos. So I suppose over the last 6 months, I've really been trying to come to terms with the fact that just closing the door on that.
Mm.
And I don't know how to navigate that. I didn't have a clue what to do. And I was asking, you know, my therapist, I was asking like various people about it. And so many people really helped me, you know, process it and things. In the last 2 weeks, there has been talk about relocating to somewhere else in Europe, which would mean that embryo is back on the table.
Wow.
So after having said goodbye for 6 months and trying to close the door, I couldn't. You know that I couldn't, because I couldn't start the process in Canada. That now there is a chance. I'm not saying this is what we're definitely doing, but there is a chance that we could relocate to another country and therefore this baby could be making its way into the world some time. And I was speaking, I was at a funeral on Saturday, a beautiful, beautiful funeral. And it was just, anyway, I won't get into it, but it was just special, you know, when you're just at a service and seeing people and oh my God. And I was talking to my aunt and I was like, you know, I'd say goodbye to those embryos and have they been through too much? You know, they've been all around the place. They've been to so many countries even that I haven't been to.
Yeah.
And my aunt was like, that baby wants to be here. That baby is finding a way to be here and you need to just sit back and let it happen. So that's the update on our embryos. It's really exciting. As I said, we haven't decided on anything. We're just, it's I suppose a new door has been opened for us and we're just deciding whether to walk through it or not.
Wow. That's so heartening. Like trust the process, trust the path. The Soul Sisters podcast is brought to you this season by Malfi Gin, your ticket to the Amalfi Coast. Georgie, what did you get up to last weekend?
So Claire, myself and Jamie, we have this ritual on a Saturday night where I upload my podcast, we put on the fire pit and we have a date night. Now that I'm out of season, we're still trying to do that, make some time for each other on a Saturday night. So last weekend, I made a seafood platter and Jamie made us some gin cocktails with Malfi Arancia, which were so refreshing and we had such a good time. Always drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie. Are you Protestant?
And I will give you rest. I'm a Catholic.
Yeah.
Can you tell?
I can, now that I think about it.
Yeah, you can hear it in my voice.
The Catholic guilt that we all carry around.
That's what it is. You can see the Catholic guilt and shame in my eyes.
The Queen died on Thursday. Did you know that my mum loves the royal family, knows everything about the royal family, has read all of these books? And my mum just happened to be in my house when the Queen died. Wow. And she literally spoke to me for like 35 minutes telling me like what's going to happen now, blah 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 blah, and I was like, Mum, there is no one I'd rather be with right now than you, just listening to you. She's going between Sky News, BBC, she was making my bed, doing my ironing, doing all
hold on, she was making your bed and doing your ironing.
We decided to have all of the Crawfords over for a sleepover on Friday night. I was doing a September reset. I felt like I was doing my thesis. I was working like 14 hours a day. My mum was like, I'll come and help you. She sorted out the spare room for me because, you know, the way you can just kind of dump things in there. Yes. Julie and JP were staying in the spare room. My mum was like, let me do the spare room. So she was ironing, making the bed, putting the shivy sheen, as we call it, on the house for me while I sat there editing, writing the September reset. But do you know what? She was meant to be there with me at that time.
She was. So you didn't need Nicholas Witchell. You just needed your mum, the royal correspondent, on the ground with you in the house.
I was like, Mum, I don't know why you're telling me all of this. You should be on News Talk right now.
Exactly. So I was working at the Mercury Music Prize on Thursday. Our company was doing the social media for it, and I had a job called syndication, which was basically all the content that was going to come from the red carpet or backstage or on stage or anything, roving producers. All of that content was going to come into Dropbox and I would have to assign it to each of the artists or wherever, the BBC or wherever it needed to go.
Whoa.
So me and another girl called Anise were sitting there. We were just getting our head around things. And there was a kind of funny, like, feeling in the air. The place should have been completely frantic. And this was about between, like, 4:30 and 5:00. And the red carpet was due to start at 4:30. And it didn't. And so then everybody would be waiting until 6:00 to see what the news would be. So even though, and I've heard a few people say this, even though I knew that probably the news, in my experience, wasn't going to be good, when Hugh Edwards flashed up on BBC News in a black suit with like glassy eyes. Mm-hmm. It was such a shock.
So were you all standing around a TV?
So we had a big TV up on the wall in the green room in the Hammersmith Apollo. And we all just stared in silence as he said it.
Obviously then we've all, you know, watched what's unfolded since. But you put together a few little facts about the Queen for us.
Because these, in situations like this, this is the first place I always go. Because if somebody like this high profile dies and I haven't been completely plugged into everything they do, then I always like to pick up little bits and pieces about them to be like, wow. And the Queen, like, she was born in 1926. Like, that's just incredible. The Queen Mother died in 2002. So 20 years after her mum passed, she passed. So here's a few little Queenie facts that I found for us. The Queen bought her wedding dress with World War II ration coupons. So she got married in 1947 to Philip. Before that, she had been involved in the war effort. She'd volunteered as a truck driver and a mechanic in World War II. And if there's one picture that you go looking for of the Queen, it's those pictures from the war. Because honest to God, I just looked at her and I was like, wow, so beautiful. She was the first female member of the royal family to serve in the military. And then the final piece, there's two more facts, one for me, George, and one for you. So the one for me is the Queen bathed every morning.
Not in Imogen's.
In Imogen's gap. In 7 inches of water.
7 inches of water.
Now, I don't know what that means, actually. Like, I can't. What's that? How much is that?
It's not very deep. It wouldn't, like, you know, when I feel like when you're in a bath, it has to cover your boobs.
Because
I don't want to be lying in water with like a seal.
Lapping water over your boobs.
7 inches is very, so that's obviously to save water or something, is it?
Perhaps. Every morning while she drank her cup of breakfast tea, the Queen's maid would run her bath. The bath had to be exactly the right temperature, ovs, tested with a wooden cased thermometer and no more than 7 inches of water. And then you and I were talking the other day, getting ready for episode 2 of Seoul Siesters. And you said to me, I said, I'm going to get some facts about the Queen. And you went, yeah, great. Like, I'd love to know what she ate for breakfast. So I couldn't ignore you. So for you, Georgie, the Queen had, she kept things simple at breakfast, according to a royal biographer, Kate Nicol. The HRH, as she liked to be called, the Queen typically started her day with a simple cup of tea and biscuits.
What?
I know. And then followed by a bowl of cereal. And The Guardian previously reported that she liked to keep it in Tupperware to preserve its freshness. So I'm thinking it's going to be muesli or it's going to be granola, maybe?
Yeah. Harry and Meghan happened to be in Europe when the Queen died and Harry got to be there straight away with his family, which I thought was lovely. I definitely cried a few times. Like, I felt it coming.
So
like,
did I.
Welling up, seeing him with William and Kate and seeing the foursome back together again. And you just hope that people, you know, can find their way back to each other. You know, the way Meghan has been kind of outcast and they've made her into this villain. Mm-hmm. It's so easy for people to just go along with that. But I think it's so nice to see the four of them putting on a united front and maybe giving a message to the world that, you know, we're together, like, back off, let us sort out our stuff between ourselves. And it's proof that people can come back together. But everyone, I just don't know how those journalists like sleep at night, what they do to her. That Dan Wooten guy, like, how can he close his eyes at night when he is tweeting the things that he tweets about her?
That is most of the reason why I left the Mail Online, because It's a level of toxic journalism, shock journalism, clickbait that I don't need in my life. And as you say, you know, it's kind of been nearly cool to slag off Meghan Markle, and I'm tired of it. Because you know what it signifies, girls, on a larger level? It's the world attacking a woman.
Yeah.
And that's nowhere near sisterhood. Yeah. That level of judgment, no matter what she does or what she says, people are making assumptions and people are criticizing her. And it's none of our business. Those four, I was delighted to see them back together. I hope they do what they do best, which is be a family in this really difficult time.
So what I wanted to recommend this week was not a thing. It's more so like a way of life. So I went, as I said, to the funeral. And this is a good thing also, is like step outside of where you normally go. So I know you say that all the time, Claire. You're like, go to a different coffee shop, you know, go somewhere else other mm-hmm. than where you're used to. So we were down in Inchicore, and that's somewhere where like I wouldn't normally be. And I parked my car and I got out in front of this shop. Okay. And the shop was called Small Changes, and it was a health food store.
Ooh.
And I was like, Mum, isn't that just a genius name for a health food shop? Small Changes. And she was like, yeah, it's lovely. And we ended up going in and getting a coffee. But it really got me thinking, and that's what the September reset is all about, is, you know, when you think of changing. So when I got sick and I was like, oh my God, I really have to change like what I eat, what I do, I'm going to have to start exercising. It was so overwhelming for me, the thoughts of having to change your life. So you may be unhappy in your life, but the thoughts of changing it is just too much. So you don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
But like that shop, it's small changes. What can you do for yourself today? And I'm flat out saying it on the September reset. What can you do today to take yourself forward? Yeah. Don't think about the big picture. It's about the small picture. And it's about the choice that you can make today for yourself, just to bring yourself forward one yeah. step. So I was so inspired after seeing that shop.
Oh God,
I was like,
sorry.
Maybe I should open a shop. I would love to open a shop.
Would you?
Like that. Yeah.
You could do a pop-up. You could do a Google Glow pop-up somewhere.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Isn't it?
Come in and get your fruit and veg.
Yeah.
Soul Sisters, do a little event. Oh yeah, that's a great idea. Now I'll write that down. Jamie, after the podcast, is like, right, so this is what I was thinking. He'd be like, oh my God.
So Jamie, I'm becoming a greengrocer, just to let you know. So just prepare yourself for that, yeah? Okay.
So what are you recommending, Claire?
So I've got to recommend this girl to you, and I want you to check her out on Instagram. And her handle is @FionaB_art. Now, I was sitting here after meditation one day earlier this week, maybe last week. And Georgie, you sent me a message and said, have you seen this? And I said, no, what are you talking about? And it was a picture drawn by Fiona of me in the bath. So I had told a story about being in Imogen's bath, my next door neighbor's bath, and borrowing, in inverted commas, her Hoover. And Fiona had heard this on a previous Soul Sisters and had decided to bring it to life. And she has drawn this picture. She's painted it. And it is, so she does, you can commission her to do this for you, basically. If you've got a present for somebody or an anniversary or something that you want to mark, you need to get in touch with Fiona, because she can do an incredible job for you. She can personalize a picture for you. So I'll just describe it to you. You might have seen it on my stories. It's me in a beautiful green bath with loads of bubbles. I look so beautiful and bubbly. There's loads of plants around me. And then Henry the Hoover is just off to the right.
It's the best thing I've ever seen.
Isn't it brilliant? She was like, you know, when you're being creative, sometimes it's tough. And I was blocked for a while, but I found it really easy to draw this picture. And now I'm back. So if you need a picture drawn for you for any occasion, FionaB_art will do a wonderful job.
Claire, you were going to give us a recipe this week, weren't you?
Yes. So I put up on my stories, and it's rare that I do this, girls, so it was an absolute out and out brag. I made a salad. It's an Asian salad with kale, and it's beautiful. And a couple of soul sisters were like, oh, go on, give us a recipe, would you? And I said, yeah, sure. So I thought maybe this could be today's, this could be this week's recipe. So let me just tell you what's in it. There's a lovely dressing. So it's honey, brown rice vinegar, sesame oil, vegetable oil, and soy sauce. And in the actual salad itself is red cabbage, kale, carrot, peppers, spring onions, coriander. And of course, you can add to that. I've been putting in some quinoa just to bulk it up.
Mmm, delish.
Now, and the tip is, and my friend Laura gave me this tip, make the dressing, right? And then, but you know the way it is with kale, massage the dressing into the salad with your hands. Like, it's red cabbage and it's kale. So it needs to be massaged so you can break down the tough fibrous characteristics of the kale.
So we're going to post that recipe in the episode show notes below. So you can just click on that, get the recipe. I'm going to make it fab.
Right, that's it for this episode of Soul Sisters. This week, I'm going to be getting ready for my holiday. I'm going to tell you all about it next week because I'm heading off to Sardinia. So details on that coming up. What are you up to?
We have the podcast awards on Friday night.
The Irish Podcast Awards.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been so busy over the last 6 weeks that I haven't got my hair, like I've just fallen apart. So this week I'm putting myself back together to go out in public on Friday night. So I'm very excited. So thanks for tuning in, Soul Sisters. I love this episode. And as always, we'll be back next Tuesday. Hope you have a great week and feel free to send us any sort of messages you like in the meantime. And if you'd like to join the September Reset, you can do so over on thegoodglow.ie. I will be your coach for 14 days. It's 10 minutes a day. We're going to refocus, reconnect, really get back in alignment with ourselves for the last 4 months of the year. And Claire is also a coach. You can contact her over on Instagram. She's @ Claire Sullen.